The old Russian hermit, St. Seraphim of Sarov, says, "The true goal of our Christian life is the acquisition of the Holy Spirit." Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, "If a child asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, we are rightly taught that the Spirit of God descends upon us in baptism, whether we are wee ones or adults. And even our Baptist brethren teach that conversion brings a one-time descent of the Holy Spirit. Why then this language of giving and receiving the Spirit? It seems more than once in both Scripture and tradition. Even multiple times the Spirit comes. Now, Seraphim is similar to us, firmly in the Orthodox tradition, his Orthodox tradition, with their historic teaching, the Spirit comes in baptism. Then how can the goal of Christian life be the acquisition of the Holy Spirit? How do you acquire what you already have? Well, like most modern Christians, many in our day are like the Gentile believers in Ephesus, recorded in the book of Acts, who said, and this is the New King James, "We have not so much as heard whether there is." From our readings, I have two reflections. One is that the Holy Spirit is an advocate, a gentle reminder in our lives of our identity as sons and daughters of God. But second, the Holy Spirit is a fire or transformation who empowers us to be disciples of Jesus. First, the Holy Spirit is a gentle advocate. The Scripture uses the word paraclete, which means someone who has your back, an advocate, a counselor, even similar to a defense attorney. But more than that, though, he reminds us of the teachings of Jesus, as it says in our gospel. And the Spirit also teaches us to embrace God, not as a harsh judge or a fearful tyrant, but as Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic term for daddy, papa, papi. Abba is Jesus' primary word for the Father. I think in all the Old Testament, the word Father is for God is used maybe once or twice. That making us sons and daughters, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, as Paul would say. And how many of you have heard of Sherpas? You know what Sherpas are? These are the ones, it's an ethnic group in Nepal, and they actually help people to ascend Mount Everest. They've traveled the road so many times. They tell them how much to bring. They can tell whether someone is struggling or not. They can tell what amount of oxygen the person has. They carry the bags once in a while. Similarly, the Holy Spirit is like those Sherpas. He has walked the path many times. The Holy Spirit has been on this earth since creation. The Holy Spirit knows where we need to go, how we need to go, whether or not we're in trouble. He comes alongside, he walks with us as an advocate and a guide. The Holy Spirit is never coercive, unlike every modern way that we know. The modern world is coercive by nature. It is full of change every moment. And we have to receive that change whether we like it or not. Stephen Freeman says, "Modernity is married to the notion of progress and change, It is the will to power. But the Holy Spirit is that gentle guide who guides us, shows us who we are, shows us whose we are. Never, ever by coercion, but only by gentleness. You are a child of God. God is your Abba. Remember the teachings of Jesus. This is the Holy Spirit's role. But there's a big however. Because there is an intrusive quality to the Holy Spirit, there is a transforming quality to the work of the Holy Spirit. His goal is to change and transform us if, and only if, we are willing. Remember the disciples. In John 14, they are sitting around the Passover table. They are listening to the words of Jesus. And they are probably filled with fear. And soon that fear will cause them all, except for John, from even being present at the Lord's crucifixion. They're not even there. But, fast forward to Acts chapter 2. Jesus commands them to wait for the power of the Spirit to come from on high. And the Holy Spirit comes and lights them up. As Babel was the confusion of the languages of the earth, if you read Genesis 11, the people of the earth were trying to build this ziggurat to heaven, trying to bring God down, trying to force God to come down and be among them. And as the story goes, their language is confused because they all have one language. This is the reversal of that. It's kind of ironic. Pentecost is the praising of God, the availability of God to the whole world, the coming down of God for the whole world, for every tongue and for every nation. There, the tongues then are a sign not of confusion, but of unity, of new direction, a new life. What is the goal of the Spirit? Transformation and the changing of you and me into new creations. Changing people so that there is now purpose where there had been no purpose. Changing people from the inside out. Placing an oil lamp in every soul, waiting to be ignited before the presence of God. The story is told of the Desert Fathers. Abba Lot came to Abba Joseph and said, "Father, according as I am able, I keep my little rule, I fast a little, I pray and meditate on the word, I live in peace, and as far as I can, I purify my thoughts. What else can I do?" The elder rose and stretched out his hands to heaven. His fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. And he said, "If you will, you can become all fire." Now the key term for transformation is what we translate as repentance. Metanoia. This is to change and to turn one's mind and one's orientation. It is to completely turn around. Our bishop said last week that the opposite of love is fear. But I would add something. The opposite of discipleship is not struggle with sin. The opposite of discipleship is what the Bible and the church fathers called apatheia. And this is more than just apathy. When we think of apathy, we think, "I don't care." But the word apathy actually means passion. And passion does not mean, "Yeah, passion. Go Broncos." It means being passive to the world around us. Defenseless against every pull, every idea, everything that crosses our path, saying, okay, all right, whatever, let's do that. Being passive. But when we become disciples, we are changed, we are transformed, and we are apprenticed into a different kind of life and a different kind of existence made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to how Peter describes it. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. That's transformation. Your young men will see visions. Transformation. Your old men will dream dreams. Transformation. And transformation leads to being commissioned and called. More than ever before, this world needs people who are transformed, people who are different, people whose quality of life is different, transformed, transformative. We live in a fascinating time. In 2015, because of all the things going on in the Middle East and the world, 27 million people were displaced from their homes. 27 million people. What does that say? What does that mean? We have persecution happening in the Middle East, in Iraq, in Syria, in other places, almost at an unprecedented rate. Now, the 20th century did a pretty good job of that too, by the way. But it's almost at an unprecedented rate, especially for the fact that we can see it. We can hear about it, and we can see what happens almost immediately. What does that mean? What does that mean for our own Christian walk? When people are giving their lives for Jesus all over the world, what does it mean there of transformation? What is it that we're called to? How is it that we step in to this? How is it that we live lives that are different? I close with the words of the poet. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people. Those inebriated by the haze. Come, Holy Spirit, quicken the souls of the faithful. Those walking yet not moving. Those speaking, yet no sound is uttered. Those lost in Satan's maze. Come, Holy Spirit, let this city glisten with shining hearts of those who listen, those who follow the Master of all, those who speak with dove's possession, those who hear the Master's call.